It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Now, here's our teacher, Ruth Christian.
Good afternoon, ladies. Well, without wasting any time, let's dive into the intro to John's letter, where he's going to immediately declare to us living reality. It's in verses 1 through 4. We'll actually only be looking at the first two verses today. So let's read chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. John says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." So he says in the first verse, he says, that which was in the beginning. Now, this beginning, it's the beginning of Genesis 1:1 and the beginning that's spoken of in John 1:1. The beginning there was before there was anything, when all that existed was God. That's the beginning he's talking about. He's saying this person that he's talking about here is eternal, existed before all else. Then he says, we've heard him, and we've seen him with our own eyes. We've looked at him. Our hands have handled him. This eternal being that was from the beginning came to earth now because they were able to hear him and see him and touch him. And John, among others, had personally experienced this eternal one. Then he calls him, he says, concerning the word of life. The word here, word, is the word logos, spoken of in John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. You know, Jesus is God's revelation of himself. He has a very special name. Why does Jesus have this name? Because Christ is to us what our words are to others. Our words reveal to others just what we think, how we feel. Well, Christ reveals to us the mind and heart of God. He is the living means of communication between God and men. To know Jesus Christ is to know God. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So John makes no mistake in his identification of Jesus Christ here. Actually, in verse 3 that we'll look at tomorrow, he finally names him. But Jesus is the Son of the Father, the Son of God. He warns us several times now in this letter, John will, not to listen to the false teachers who tell lies about Jesus Christ. John is making two important implications about the eternal one here. He says he became accessible to man in the most basic way, a way that everyone could relate to. He has revealed himself to us, and he can be known. Two important things. Now he reveals himself through the written logos, the word of God, with the working of the Holy Spirit. And because of this, it debunks dangerous teachings that were creeping into the church, known as Gnosticism. Part of the teaching of Gnosticism was that though Jesus was God, he was not actually physically man, but some kind of a pseudo-physical phantom. But John says here, this is what he's saying. He says, no, we heard him, we saw him, we studied him, we touched him. The Gnostics believed they had a higher knowledge. Thus the name Gnostic, which means knowledgeable ones, the enlightened ones. So these false teachers believe they had a higher knowledge about God than God's word had to say about Jesus. And so they said if Jesus was God, he could not have had a body, because here's another thing they believed: all matter is inherently evil. Now, why would they make this claim? Well, by arguing that everything material is evil, the Gnostics absolve themselves as deep thinkers while behaving themselves as party animals. They could do whatever. they wanted to. They could sin, and but then still say that they could go to heaven because it's not about our body. It's about our spirit and our soul. So it's impossible that that God would actually become man, some of them were teaching. Jesus was an emanation of God. He was not God incarnate. And such thinking, of course, is still common in cults today. Cults are always, they are cults because their teaching of Jesus is not correct. So here at the outset of his epistle, in essence, John says, wait a minute. Jesus wasn't a phantom, an emanation, or a vision. We walked with him, we hung out and lived with him, and we want you to have the same kind of fellowship with him that we had. So he's the word of life. The life was manifested, he says here. Manifest means, and this happens to be a favorite word of John's in this letter, but manifest means to be revealed openly. In calling Jesus eternal life, which is what he does here, he says the eternal life came. He said he also says that he's implying that this is real life, and we're going to see this throughout the letter. But in the Gospel of John, he's recalling the words of the Lord, because several times in the Gospel of John, where it's recorded, Jesus talks about himself as life. He says in John 5, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. John 6 says, I am the bread of life. John 11, Jesus said to her, this is Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, this is Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And of course, the one that kind of wraps it all up for us, John 10, 10, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it abundantly. John 17, 3 says this, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. That's Jesus in his prayer saying that to the Father, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. That's eternal life. We know we have eternal life when we know the Father and the Son. And John repeats the idea that Jesus himself is eternal twice in two verses. So he's trying to really make an important point. The word, one more thing we want to see in these two verses here, it says with. This eternal one was with the Father. Well, this indicates that he had eternal life in himself. He was distinct from the Father. John builds the New Testament understanding of the Trinity here, and he will throughout the letter, that one God exists in three persons, equal and one, yet distinct in their person. He'll talk about the Holy Spirit several times in this letter. So really, as we close out the study for today, we've discovered, two important facts about this life that is real. It's first of all revealed in Jesus Christ, and it's experienced when we put our trust in him as our Savior. But John does not stop here. Tomorrow, what we're going to see is that it's a life that is also shared. So in closing, we need to ask, is this life that's real, real in me? Has Jesus Christ been revealed to me? Has his life been experienced in me? Have you put your trust in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? Do you know him? Well, until next time, dear sisters, stay close to Jesus and keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh.